Hey, can I ask? Well, no, we're recording. When we stop recording, remind me, I want to ask you a question.
Okay, you got it.
But not a recorded question.
Understood. Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. Well, Dirk, I'm so glad you are here, and I'd love it if you would introduce yourself, kind of what you do, where you are, and your pronouns and how you identify.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dirk DeMonte. I'm one of the pastors at Los Altos United Methodist Church. I'm the minister of music and worship arts. I've been there quite a long time, and that mostly means I oversee the music and do a lot of music myself and help plan worship. And I am a he, his kind of guy.
Awesome. Thanks. So glad you're here.
Me too. Thanks.
Dirk is also, for both listeners, Dirk is one of the most talented piano performers I have ever met. So wow,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Dirk, will you give us that like really nice Dirk voice and read it for us?
You bet. And I'm reading from the CEB, the Common English Bible. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from there. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity.
Thanks, Dirk. You know, I don't know that I have ever caught that last part of it until the next opportunity.
Like, I don't think I had either. I was like, whoa, okay.
I'll be back, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you get out of this passage? Where are you going with it?
Well, I mean, every Lent, it's where I start my own reflection. And I think it's significant that that's how Jesus' public ministry starts out, that he immediately goes into the wilderness. And, you know, I struggle, as I think we all do, with things that are trying to pull me away from where I want to be and who I want to be. I think that it means so much to me that Jesus went through this and was able to confront it. And I always assume struggled with it. I don't think it was just this simple, people don't survive on bread alone. I think, you know, it says he was hungry. It says he was, so I'm sure there's a lot of questioning going on for Jesus and a lot of, you know, this is right after he got baptized and he was, getting ready to start this ministry. And so I think that's a struggle for people. I mean, you know that, Sam, just starting something totally crazy and new and there's no, it's a wilderness, you know, and you don't know what it's going to be like. And for me, it's a little bit different being in the same ministry job for almost 40 years, but it's not different because there's constantly that temptation to not move ahead. And there's that temptation to not really trust God. You know, I think one of the things that's interesting to me, each of these temptations is about trusting in your own power and trusting in a sense, selfishness and a lack of trust in God. So, I mean, that's for me, that those are always the big temptations. That's always, I always struggle with the motivation to trust and not to just think, okay, I can control this and I can take care of this on my own.
Yeah, I think control is always there, right? Like, it's always like, no, I can do this. And right, like, turns right out, like, I don't want to say I can't do anything, but like, I can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't have any control except for like sometimes what I do. Other mm-hmm. times, like, I don't actually, right? People are like, oh, the only thing you can control is yourself. Like, sometimes.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like, that's usually the last thing I can control. Yeah.
You know, I love the 12-step model of like, oh, I am powerless over, you know, whatever it is your vice is, but like, actually, I'm powerless over most things.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I always think of that one in relation to this passage is, you know, being in a 12-step program, I think about it has to start with that first step of admitting you're powerless and that life has become unmanageable. Now, in Jesus' case, I think it was claiming the power but not his. He was claiming the power that God gives and that is God, which of course Jesus is part of. But yeah, I always think of that for the first three steps, you know, where,
yeah,
you know, and realizing there's a power greater than myself and then be willing to turn my life and my will over. It's like, yep.
And we do those first three steps over and over and over and many over again.
Many times a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
And I think sometimes like I can get down on myself for like screwing it up so many times. Right. Cause like Jesus holds strong, like, well done, my friend. Right. I am not Jesus. Right? Right. I screw up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Me too.
So, and you know, I think what I hear here is not like, see, like Jesus got it right and you didn't. What I hear is like, Jesus got it right. You may not have gotten it right mm-hmm. this time, but if you will rely on Jesus and like stay in that lane, then yeah. you will get it next time because yeah. you can't get it, but God can get it. And that's what Jesus is doing, right? He's not saying like, I can resist this. He's saying like, I am relying on the power of God to resist yeah. this.
And one of the things I love about that passage is one of the strongest reminders for me, Jesus is here to get what it, so for, to help God get what it is to be human.
Yeah.
Not to help, to, for God to get what it is to be human. And I think, you know, there's so much comfort knowing, man, Jesus struggled and Jesus struggled with the same kind of stuff I struggle with, you know, using power from selfish gain and that kind of stuff. And I think, thank God he got it right or otherwise
yeah.
he wouldn't be here, but
pretty rough.
But it's like, but he got it right, but he had to go through the struggle. And that just means everything to me. Cause there's such a incarnational connection there and such a strong affirmation that God does understand the stuff we're going through and God wants us to get through it and to be stronger on the other side, I think.
And I do think it's that incarnational aspect that like, for me, right. It doesn't have to be for everyone. For me, that's what draws me to Christianity is like, I love that in Christianity, we have a God who chooses to suffer with us.
Right. Exactly.
And like no shade to other religions. Right.
No.
And for me, it's a really like beautiful and wonderful thing.
Exactly how I feel. I'm looking forward to this pandemic someday being over, because I used to go to the to Elmwood once a month and do worship services there.
And that's a correctional facility?
Yeah, correctional facility. And it go to the men's, it was the low, whatever the minimum security area. But, you know, at first you just think, oh, I am doing such, I'm doing the Matthew 25, which is where Jesus says, unless you, you know, are with the prisoner and all that stuff. And right from the very first time I did it, I said, oh, this isn't about me doing anything for them. This is about presence and their presence with me too. I mean, it's a reciprocal thing, which, it's important to always remember that really is enough.
Yeah. And I love that you say it's a reciprocal thing. I'm big on kind of mutual hospitality. I think too often we are so eager to give our good gifts to people who are less lucky.
Right. Right.
But actually, like, we have things to give each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So great.
You know, God's call is to humility and to connection with God. And there's tremendous strength in that. If I can learn to let go of my own need to control my own clinging to power.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Would you pray for us?
Yeah, you bet. God, we are so grateful for your incarnation in us, with us, and among us. We are so grateful that you came to us in Jesus, and that Jesus never backed away from anything, that Jesus went through it all and goes through it all with us. We're grateful for this holy season and for the chance to reflect in deeper ways on you and with you. And we're so thankful for this connection that we share. Be with us on this journey. We pray in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for being here, Dirk.
Welcome. Thank you.